Okay, we're going to get started. For those that are online, and we know that Ben Benoy, you're on there. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay, for those that are online, you can't see us right now. They're working on that, trying to reboot and recalibrate that. But as it becomes available, that they'll put that on so you can see through the cameras and so forth. But for now, we're going to move forward with the meeting. It'll still be recorded and so forth, and put on when it's available. Yep, and he says that they'll upload it later. Okay, so welcome. As always with our meetings, we start with a prayer, reading a thought, and pledge of allegiance. Is there any in the audience that would like to volunteer to do a prayer, reading, or thought? None today? Okay, let's bring it up here. Since you did the prayer last time, I'll do that, if that's all right. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we could meet peaceably and assemble in a way that we can have discussion and discuss topics of the nature of the county. We're thankful, Father, for being able to live in a wonderful place where we have freedoms and securities. We pray for those who are protecting those securities, and we pray that thy watchful hand and blessing will be upon not just this area, but also the country. We recognize the bountiful blessings that we enjoy where much throughout the world do not. We pray for them as they struggle and as they search and find their ways as well. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll go through our process now and organize our agenda. As you see our agenda, there's nothing under the consent agenda presently. We are going to place things on that consent agenda and then hold things to stay on regular agenda. So those things that we do not hold will be placed on the consent agenda. So looking at items number 1 through 10, we need to hold number 5, number 6, number 7, and number 10. Is there any others that you might have, Commissioner?
No.
Okay. Looking at items 11 through 20, I don't have any on there to hold.
I have none.
You have none on that? Okay. Then 21 through 29.
I just need clarity on item 27.
27. Okay. And also if we could hold item number 22. Number 26, is there anything on that one, Deneen, that we need to discuss? I didn't think so, but I want to give that opportunity, okay? We'll leave that then. And we need to hold number 29 for action. Then items number 30 through 33, I did not have any requests for item number 31. Is that still holding? So if we could leave it on consent to strike that item. And then items 30, 32, and 33, we could leave it on consent to approve and set the date, time, and location for today's date at this location following the completion of our regular agenda. Is that good?
That's good. Can make a motion that we hold Items 5, 6, 7, 10, 22, 27, 29, 32, excuse me, 30, 32, and 33.
Very good. Okay. Those are held, and the rest are moved to consent. All right. We'll go back to item number 5. Item number 5 is to approve and authorize a resolution appointing the interim replacement for the Utah County Commission CA, which has been voted upon. That's Amelia Powers Gardner. Any congratulations? Any thoughts to that? Any discussion on that that we need to have? Any comments that you'd like to make? These
second thoughts.
Is this like speak now or forever hold your peace?
Well, I don't know if we'd go that far, but.
No, I think I do have a few words that I wanted to say, but I can say that under the next agenda item, I think.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
All right, then let's move forward with a motion.
Yeah, make a motion. We approve item number 5.
And I'll suspend the rules so that I can second motions and make motions, and I'll second that motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 2-0.
All right. So ready for the next agenda item?
Item 6.
We're ready for the next agenda item in just a second. Thank you. All right, thank you.
Pass it around.
Yep, now we have received a letter of resignation from Amelia Powers Gardner, and that's on our agenda for number 6. Vacating that spot. And also on item number 6 is a letter that we will be sending to the Republican Party liaison for a vacancy that they will go through their normal process with. Go ahead.
All right. Well, so I suppose with the acceptance of me as being appointed to fill the vacancy on the County Commission, I do resign my seat as the county clerk auditor. Utah County is the heart of Utah, but the heart of Utah County government is the employees of this county. And the highlight of my career has by far been the 2+ years that I served as the Utah County Clerk Auditor. And the thing that made that the highlight of my career is the employees here in Utah County. Not just the employees of the Clerk Auditor's office, but the employees of the entire Utah County government. I am so proud of the exceptional work that the employees have done since I've been the clerk auditor. We have won national and international awards. We have implemented innovations that the world had never seen before. And we have had amazing success. The highlight of that was the 2020 presidential election, where Utah County threw away the title of Epicenter of Dysfunction, and we are recognized as a national model in elections. But the Utah County Clerk Auditor's Office, we did not do that alone. In every piece of our success was the rest of the county. Our IT department is phenomenal. They've been recognized by their own professionals with ESRI, as well as by the Federal Elections Assistance Commission. Our IT department is second to none. Our HR department helped us every step of the way. They had Herculean feats that they executed in a small amount of time. Not to mention the support that we have received from Public Works, the commission. We could not have done it without the help of the commission. Creating a ballot center for us to process ballots in and bringing us up to a world-class standard for elections could not have been done without the support of the commission. The health department, the EOC, and the sheriff's department, and everyone else in Utah County has been so impressive. The thing that I am most excited about to serve on the commission is that I now get to serve all of the employees of Utah County as well as all of the citizens of the county, not just as the clerk auditor, but to help lead the entire county. So it is with, obviously, great sadness that I step down as the clerk auditor. This has absolutely been the best part of my career. I loved it so much, I didn't even really take a maternity leave, right? 10 days. At 10 days, I was back at work with my baby. But I'm so excited to get to lead with you the entire county. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Just for reference, the oath of office will be administered tomorrow. I almost said the swearing in. I'm going to change that to the oath of office. The oath of office will be administered tomorrow at 4 o'clock over in the old historical courthouse. We gave Amelia the option of just swearing in or doing the oath of office here and now, and then she could just come right up here and be here. But I think it's, you know, she wanted to do it for tomorrow at 4 o'clock. So that's just for reference points, that's what will take place tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you and welcome. A motion. Oh, wait. Did we already do that? No, I'm confused.
Let's
do the motion. Yep. You're just speaking to it. There we go.
I make a motion that we adopt agenda item 6.
And I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 2-0. Okay, number 7 is to adopt a resolution amending the Utah County policy for food and gifts for county business. We've been going through all kinds of iterations with this, back and forth, and in a conversation I had with Dave, in looking at the different thoughts and emails that we received, is there anything in there, Dave, is there any reason why we shouldn't go forward with what we have today?
I think we're fine to move forward.
Okay. Okay, is there a motion then?
I would make a motion based on that, and from what I've read in the email, I think it's pretty well addressed, I think, for the plaques, especially in the current policy that was adopted earlier. So I make a motion that we approve item number 7 as written.
Okay, and I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 2-0. Number 10 on this one, Bryce, is to take action referring to the Utah County Planning Commission, a proposed Utah County Land Use Ordinance text amendment, chapter 6.04. A lot of work's gone into this.
Yeah, it's Bryce Armstrong, Community Development. Mr. Robert Moore puts this on the agenda, and he's joined us by phone, but I can speak to kind of what we're doing here. If you recall, a couple months ago, you had a work session item in which a representative from the state engineer's office came down and kind of gave us some information that potentially could be quite concerning about a general adjudication of water rights, specifically impacts Utah County in the instance that of the work session, Hobble Creek Canyon, and so. In response to some of those potential concerns, staff was asked to look at a text amendment to our land use ordinance to kind of potentially address a situation where a person may have a water right reduced or even eliminated after they've been utilizing that, which can be quite problematic. And so we've been working with the health department and the attorney's office to come up with potential solutions or options to address this. And so really what we're doing today is just referring that proposed text amendment back to the Planning Commission to start the process. At that point, there'll be a public hearing. I'm imagine the proposal will change in response to what staff feels needs to be done and part of the public hearing. And then it'll be brought back with a Planning Commission recommendation back to the County Commission for action. So it's a long explanation, but all we're doing today is just referring it back to the Planning Commission for that process to begin.
Yes, and I would hope that the Planning Commission will, and I know they will, they'll go through and do their due diligence with it. It is It's a serious one. It's a serious one for us. And so I hope that the Planning Commission will go through their processes and dig into it, find out what's best, and then propose something to us that they have thoroughly vetted.
Yep.
I have no further questions.
Okay. A motion?
I make a motion that we adopt and approve item number 10.
And I'll second that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 2-0. Okay, number 22. Okay, so I read through this one, and I've got one area of concern.
Sure.
And it's number six. Deals with tents, canopies, and temporary membrane structures.
Okay.
And we've had a ton of discussion on this in the past, and there are things in this that seem to conflict with my memory on what we did and what we were trying to accomplish. And so I'm not sure.
Sure.
What's going on here?
So this, just to kind of backtrack, this was a kind of a housekeeping amendment to a section of our ordinance that had a broad variety of different types of requirements, one of which is temporary uses. And under temporary uses, Commissioner Lee is referring to a temporary use that we allow that contemplates tents, canopies, temporary membrane structures. And so all we're doing here is adding a section that says, it kind of lays out when a person can utilize a tent or a membrane structure temporarily. The key is, if we recall from our previous discussions, that if you're less than 180 days, then it's considered temporary, and a lot of the different requirements, specifically fire code and building code, don't kick in. And so we've always had that in the ordinance. There was some legislation at the state level that allows a certain type of temporary tent or tent. Specifically a remote yurt is what the state called it, where those can remain permanently if they meet certain criteria. All we're doing here under subsection I is stating that any other use of a temporary or any other use of a membrane-covered frame structure shall comply with all applicable requirements of this land use ordinance. So then We addressed that scenario, a remote yurt elsewhere in the ordinance. So if they want to qualify for that, then they're subject to those provisions, or and all adopted building health and fire safety requirements. On occasion, we'll get someone who wants to utilize a permanent structure as a membrane structure as a permanent structure, and all we're saying is that's possible as long as you meet all adopted codes. We've got someone who wants to potentially use one as a dwelling, and if they can meet certain building and fire codes, that's an option. All we're doing here is just saying, for the temporary use of it, you got to meet these provisions which are up above, and then if any other use of it has to meet the requirements that are found elsewhere in the ordinance to capture those that we have put in, including remote yurts.
So here's, we have to probably go through a longer discussion on this, but again, and you even reiterated it too. You said anything less than 180 days. One, we didn't have to file for a permit. They could just put it up. That was my understanding from our discussions in the past. They don't have to get a permit. Doesn't have to be inspected, and they could just put it up as long as it was on their property.
Sure.
As I read this one though, it says. And this is not even one that we're considering, and that's why I'm really confused. It says the tent, canopy, or temporary membrane structure is not to exceed for a period of excess a use period of 180 days within the 12-month period on a single premise. And so as I read the very top caption, it says that everything underneath has to be met. All the following conditions must be met. And so it conflicts with what I thought we had done in the past, in the sense that you don't have to have a permit, you don't have to be inspected, but I'm seeing on here that we have to actually have inspections. It has to be adopted to the fire code.
Yeah.
It has to have adequate parking for a tent. I mean, those are the things that are just Now I'm wondering where we're going. If somebody wants to put a tent up, it has to be in good repair. So that means that somebody's going to have to go out there and inspect tents and or membrane systems. You know, and so I thought we'd alleviated that 180 days. Within that 180 days that we were not going to be going through that process. So I'm concerned. I just don't know what this is, what we're doing here.
So this is just a different type of the ordinance that allows them temporarily beyond not camping. I mean, it can include camping, but this has been in place for years to accommodate someone that has an event on their property and they want to have some covering. And so we have this process that they've got to go through to have a temporary tent. We specifically put this H in to point them to there's other sections in the ordinance that allow those areas that we addressed through those recent amendments. And so I think the intent here was to continue allowing what was already allowed for these temporary uses beyond camping. Just, you know, someone who wants to have or Sundance sometimes wants to have an event for the summer. You know, that they're not camping or living in it, but they're just having an event. So we have a temporary use permit to make sure that, you know, they have parking for whatever purpose that tent is serving. And so that's something that we've always had and is utilized in other capacities other than kind of what we've addressed more recently to allow camping and that remote type of use of a yurt or a tent. We've also you know, have included in our definition of camping to specifically identify that they can use these other types of uses for a tent as it relates to those definitions that were put in by state code.
To that point, then, like the yurt at Sundance, they use it for instructors, a lobby, information, some maybe even mini class, but they have a yurt up there for those purposes. Is this what you have in mind with this?
That they have two different types, or over the past they've had two different types. At times they'll have one that's used permanently, and so they just meet the building code, and they have been getting they got a permit for that, and they meet the building code because they want it more than 180 days. And so once you're on that 180 days, you've got to meet those building codes. What we try to do with subsection I, is to state that you have this other option that that is contemplated elsewhere in the ordinance that allows a remote yurt to be exempt from all of these building code requirements. And so that's kind of what we were capturing.
I'm just reading this, and I'll just read it again. Read it under section six. It says, upon receipt of a completed application in any zone, the zoning administrator shall issue a temporary use permit for a membrane structure if the zoning administrator finds that all of the following conditions and requirements are met. And there's A through I on here. And it says, under B, it just says the tent, canopy, or temporary membrane structure is not in use for a period to exceed the use period of 180 days within a 12-month period and on single premise. Would you be requiring, that's confusing to me because it looks like there's going to be an application filled out if somebody wants to use a yurt or a tent for 179 days.
Yeah, sometimes depending on what their use is. If they qualify for camping, which we define elsewhere, or a remote yurt, then they're exempted elsewhere. But this has been in place because people want to come in and use a tent as a temporary structure for whatever use it is. And so we've had this application or process in place for years to utilize those kind of temporary events that are generally it's over a weekend or a month or whatever during the summer. But yeah, I guess it could be up to 179 days. And so we have a process to make sure that, you know, sometimes we don't know what that use is going to be for. It could be for a larger group of people. And so we want to make sure there's some parking there just for that temporary period.
Yeah, I just don't know why we're regulating that.
I mean, that's always been there, so we're not.
Yeah, I know. I know it has, and since it's here, that's why it kind of conflicts with what we've done in the past. And I'm just concerned about where is the line, you know, drawn on that. We say we don't have to do it, and if you call it camping, then you don't have to get a permit.
Correct.
So I guess if they call it camping, then they wouldn't have to follow this at all?
Right, yeah. They could have it up to 180 days, and we've defined that in our definition of camping and reference to this type of use. And so, yeah, I think that's what we're trying to capture, is to make sure that we're accommodating those recent amendments that have come in recently to not get run afoul of this section and be consistent. So that's what was our intent.
Okay. I don't know your thoughts are, but I'm not prepared to vote for this.
Should we continue this to clarify, maybe on another work session?
Sure. Yeah, I'd like to see consistency with it.
Here.
Yeah, one option would be to we could go through this and add some specific language where it's clear and references that other provision of the code and indicate that these requirements are not applicable to the camping use of membrane structures or whatever the designation is of that other section of the code. So, you know, to address that specific concern, so it's clear that those other uses are dealt with in that other section, and this section does not apply to those uses.
So I'll just give you an example that happened this last weekend. My neighbor had a birthday party for his son, and they put up a canopy in the front yard because they didn't know if it was going to rain or not. And I'm seriously looking across and thinking, did you file a permit for that? I mean, really? I'm having a hard time with that kind of reasoning. It's not camping. This is just a structure that they put up. Are we going to go in there and say, you're going to have adequate parking for it? Are we going to have to go down and walk down through this whole thing and say, is it in good repair? That's where I'm really kind of running up against this.
And that's not the intent of this.
I know it's not the intent, but it falls underneath it.
Sure, and we haven't been doing that or even looking into those. I think the intent is that we do have on occasion where there's a very large assembly, you know, a circus or something that may come in. They may come in that has utilization of this type of process.
So maybe we should put numbers on there because they probably had, I don't know, maybe 70 or 80 people show up, you know, there. And so I don't know where that number is. Are we talking over 500? Maybe we should put something in there that defines what that is, you know, something of that nature where it can be used. Anyway, that's just a personal example that I see with it that I'm running some.
Yeah, maybe some again, maybe it should be a continuation so we can address some additional consideration to this.
Yep, I'm fine with a continuation with it.
Was there any other sections that you want to look at?
No, that was the one that's the one that jumped out as I read down through it and was concerned.
As for a date to continue to, I don't know if we want to set a date yet, but we could confer separately. And
why don't, yes, because it'll give an opportunity for Commissioner-elect almost taking the oath of office, I don't know what you call, maybe 2 weeks. How's 2 weeks? It's 2 weeks work, because I know that
that'd
next
be,
week's trouble.
May 19th.
I don't know what date that is. The 12th.
12th, excuse me. So I'll make a motion that we continue item number 22 for a work session.
Do you want to do a work session? I was just thinking that we would maybe talk individually and then come back.
I think we could do it just on as a regular action item.
Okay.
And then we can draft some language or to address what has been brought up today, and then we can act on it that day.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll make a motion that we continue for a May 12th regular agenda item.
And I'll second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 2-0 for continuation.
27, I just want to clarify. On the draft budget sheet, I understand it has two items that were transferred. I just want to confirm which ones we're specifically referring to, but the commission is deducting $2,000 to be moved to the auditor's office for internal service funds. We're not addressing the civil attorney from non-departmental funding, which is $50,000. I just see two. I see
correct.
Two actions here. I just want to make sure it's just one or the other.
Yeah. No. So what's happened? The $50,000 for the attorneys, that was taken care of in the item we did a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
So that was in there. What we have here is we have the new contract that we have to reduce our overall cost of services for printers and copiers.
Okay.
And part of that is that, you know, we pay a portion of our savings to NUQO. But unfortunately, this happened mid-year, and we didn't put any additional budget funding in for this. And so now we've been billed from NUQO for that, and we identified talking with the commissioner's office where we could, you know, pull the funds from to do that, because it was taken care of in the purchasing department and or the purchasing function in the clerk auditor's department. So this is just a transfer out between those two departments in Fund 680, so okay. that we can pay that invoice.
I just want to confirm that.
Correct. Yeah, the $50,000 was taken care of a couple of weeks
okay.
ago, because that was a crucial item, really.
Yeah, that was just my big question.
Yep.
It wasn't $52,000, just the $2,000.
Just the $2,000,
okay.
correct.
Thank you. Make a motion to adopt item number 27.
And I'll second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 2-0. Okay, item number 29 is a set. This is your item. I'll just let you go ahead and announce it.
Item number 29 is to set a date, time, and location for a public hearing to discuss amending the 2021 budgets in Utah County's general fund and other budgetary funds, and to consider revisions to the county's estimates of revenues for Wednesday, May 12th at 3 p.m. in room 14 of the Utah County Administration Building. And again, this is what I had touched on earlier, and that was a first phase discussion. This would continue that discussion.
Okay.
Any comments?
Nope. This is just setting that
okay.
date time.
So I'll make a motion that we approve item number 29.
And I'll second that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 2-0. Okay, we already set our closed meetings. I don't have any listed work session. Is there any public comment? Seeing none online, I'm assuming. Okay, we will go to our public, or we'll go to our closed meetings.
Thank you. Make it 1 o'clock if you're going to move it up.
Okay, we're back in open session. Final motion.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
We're now adjourned.
Yeah. You want me to amend or add?